We are certainly thankful for your presence here today, and particularly those who are our members and those who are visiting with us, and again, particularly our fathers. Happy Father's Day to you. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that there is much more attention given to mothers on Mother's Day than there is fathers on Father's Day. I don't know why that is, but at least at my house, it seems to be. And I don't want flowers, just dark chocolate would be good. Yeah, that would be okay. All right. We're glad to have Hutch and Georgia place membership with us. We're so thankful that we've had several who've placed membership with us recently, and we're grateful to each and every one. Going to tell you a fairy tale here. Once upon a time, there lived on the banks of the River Dee a miller who was the happiest man in England. He was always busy from morning till night. He was always singing as merrily as any lark. He was so cheerful that he made everyone else cheerful, and people all over the land liked to talk about his pleasant ways. At last, the king heard about him. He said, "I will go down and talk with this wonderful miller. Perhaps he can tell me how to be happy." As soon as he stepped inside the mill, he heard the miller singing, "I envy nobody, no, not I, for I am as happy as I can be, and nobody envies me." The king interrupted by saying, "You're wrong, my friend. You're as wrong can be. I envy you, and I would gladly change places with you if I could be as light-hearted as you are. Now, tell me, what makes you so cheerful and glad here in your dusty mill, while I, the king, am sad and troubled every day?" And the miller smiled and said, "I do not know why you are sad, but I can tell you why I am glad. I earn my own bread. I love my wife and my children. I love my friends, and they love me, and I do not owe a penny to any man. Why should I not be happy? For here is the River Dee, and every day it turns my mill, and the mill grinds the corn that feeds my wife, my babies, and me." "Say no more," said the king. "Stay where you are and be happy still. But I envy you. Your dusty cap is worth more than my golden crown. Your mill does more for you than my kingdom can do for me. If there were more such men as you, what a good place this world would be. Goodbye, my friend." And the king turned around and walked away sadly, and the miller went back to his work singing, "Oh, I'm as happy can be." Let's look at 2 Kings, the 7th chapter. That's harder to read than I thought it would be. I hope you can read that well. Elisha said, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time a measure of fine flour will be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." The royal officer on whose hand the king was leaning answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord should make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And then he said, "Behold, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat of it." Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we live. And if they do not, if they kill us, we will but die. They arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. And when they came to the outskirts of the camp of the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents, their horses, their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and they fled for their life. When these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank and carried from there silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. And they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. This text is generally used for an evangelistic sermon, especially you think of what we read in verse 9, we are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping silent. And that will certainly preach as an evangelistic sermon. In fact, I've done so myself with that. But I don't think it's stretching the text too much by using it for a Father's Day sermon. When I reflected on this text, I could see some things that are applicable to fathers. Even though we don't know whether these four lepers were fathers. In the introductory story of the Miller and the King, according to our American standards, the Miller should have been miserable and the King should have been deliriously happy. And yet, sometimes we see people who are poor who are very happy, and people who are wealthy who are very unhappy. But according to our American standards was what I was referring to. And this fairy tale continues to this day. The more you have, supposedly, the happier you are to be. But it was the miller who had very little. And yet he possessed much more than all of the king's silver and gold and kingdom. And one of the sayings that I like, and maybe it's because I fall in this category, I say, if ignorance is bliss, then I'm a happy man. And certainly that's the way that we should be, whether we are ignorant or very intelligent. It wasn't blissful ignorance, however, that made the miller a happy man. It was a contentedness within his heart. Listen to the words of wise Solomon. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. Better is a dish of vegetables where love is than a fattened ox served with hatred. I don't know about you men, but I do know about myself. On Father's Day, I have some mixed feelings. I'm glad that I'm a father. I'm glad that my two children are very faithful Christians. But I also look back and see things that I could have done differently that maybe would have made me a better father, but we can't live in the past. And I'm thankful that my nation and our children honor fathers on this day. The Bible, in fact, directs children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. When I reflect, however, on the perfectness of my heavenly Father, I'm certainly humbled by my own shortcomings. There are so many things, both materially and spiritually, that a father wishes he could do for his family, which he may never be able to do. But we need to quit measuring ourselves by the false standards of the world and strive for the divine standards that God has set for us. Fathers, you have much to share. Those four lepers were struggling just to live. If they stayed where they were going to die. If they went into the gates of Jerusalem, they were going to die. If they went to the Arameans, they might die. That was their best hope. And then all of a sudden, God opened up the windows of heaven to them. They decided it was better to take some action than not to attempt anything at all. No, fathers, we don't always make the right decisions for our families, but we cannot lead our families if we are passive. We must be courageous enough to act and yet bold enough to admit when we make mistakes. And those men had been outcast of society, beggars for food, and they were prepared to plead for their lives if necessary. And what I'm saying this morning certainly applies to grandfathers and great-grandfathers. We have a tremendous spiritual responsibility to our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And God provided them with this Syrian gold mine. And their first inclination, as it would be for many people, is, well, let's just keep it all for ourselves. But after some thought, they knew that it would be wrong not to share their blessings with others. Fathers, we cannot keep the treasures which God has given to us to ourselves. We may not have a great deal of material wealth to share with our children or grandchildren, but we have been provided with much spiritual wealth, which we cannot afford to hoard to ourselves. The one complaint that most wives have about their husbands is that they don't share their feelings and their hopes and their dreams, or that they don't listen when their wives talk. I don't think any of you have that problem, do you? I wear hearing aids when I'm here, but I take them off at home for some reason. I don't know why, but many children wish their fathers would, and grandfathers and so forth, would spend more time with them. I believe that wives and children and grandchildren want more than anything for you to share yourself with them and share the Word of God and your prayerful petitions to Him and tell them that you're praying for them and pray for them in front of them and tell them how much you love them, how much you care. Share with them the love and commitment you have for their mother, their grandmother. Don't consume yourself in accumulating more possessions. And don't keep the blessings that God has given to you for yourself. Share yourself. Share your time. Share your energies with your family. And you will be walking in the footsteps of your Heavenly Father. I like the story about the father who was trying to read his newspaper after a tough day at the office. And his young son was at his feet doing everything imaginable to get the attention of his father. And the father was somewhat frustrated because he wanted to finish the paper. We have to know what's going on in the world, don't we? And the father tore the back cover of a magazine into pieces. And it had a picture of the map of the world. And the father said, well, this is going to take a long time for this boy to piece this together. But he told him to put the jigsaw puzzle together. And in just a few minutes, the boy had completed the task, and he took it to his father. And the father was amazed and asked the child, how did you do this? And the boy said, oh, it was easy. On the other side was a picture of a man. And when I got the man together, then the world was in order. We need to get ourselves together. We need to be the men that God wants us to be and stand up for what God wants us to stand. We need to help to bring the world together and give it order again. What desperate times we're living in right now. If there was ever a time that we needed strong spiritual men, it is today. I just pray that each one of us will be the men in our family to stand up for those things. When we get the fathers and the mothers together, then our world will be in order. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hope you'll do that, and we hope that you'll do it while we stand and while we sing.